Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, Jason. Let's start with the Browns. Obviously, the J.J. Watt situation has been talked about a lot. I was talking about this yesterday, though. I think the Browns... You know, we've talked about the Browns have a lot of holes on defense, right? You got Miles Garrett, you got Denzel Ward, and everybody else. So that, like, outside of Sheldon Richardson and maybe one or two other guys, like, I don't even, a lot of the other positions, you don't even have, like, a guy you're sure is even a starter, let alone being good. So the thought is, well, they got to fill a lot of holes. And I was thinking, you know, if they just got two impact players, and yesterday I was talking about Watt and trading for Marshawn Lattimore from the Saints. Those two things alone, even if you just went with the young guys at safety and the young guys at linebacker, you make two significant upgrades like that, I think you're significantly better. You're to the point where you're at least average defensively, and that's good enough to win. Do you agree, or do you think they got to share the wealth amongst more spots on defense?
No, in the NFL with the injury, that's the biggest thing more than
that's
any
true.
Sport. That's the one sport where it's like, boy, you really hate to put all your – I hate using cliches, but put all your eggs in one basket just because the injury risk is so high. But I'm kind of with you, you know, and I've said that all along. It's just get a couple of impact players, you know, between free agency and the couple first picks, two, three picks, you know, I would expect to see an edge rusher, a couple of linebackers, maybe one defensive back. But if you can hit big on two, I think you're in business. You know, it all comes down to price, obviously, and I don't know, why people thought J.J. Watt was going to take a discount. Look at the contract he walked away from in Houston. Of course, he's going to want to make that much. Like, you don't walk away from that much money. What was it? $15 million he was on the hook for?
I think it was 17.
Okay, so he's not going to take like the minimum from the Steelers to go play with his brothers.
Of course not. Yeah.
Like, you're not going to walk away from that much money to take significantly less. Wherever he's going to go, he's going to expect to receive at least what he walked away from. And it is a big commitment to make to a guy who's had a ton of injuries and is older in his career. But, you know, I'm all for the Browns exploring if they can get him. Yeah. But to your point, yes. I think if you make two impact signings, obviously you've improved the defense. And let's be honest, how many good defenses are in the NFL today? There aren't that many teams that can really defend and really are good. You would look at it and go, that's a really good defensive team. Because the rules are set up, the game is rigged for offense. So it doesn't matter how good you are defensively, the game is rigged for high scoring and points. So if you could just slow guys down, make them kick threes instead of scoring sixes, you got a chance in this league today.
We're talking with Jason Lloyd. Jason, I know you recently wrote, I think you wrote a column and you talked about the three owners in Cleveland. It's obviously been a big discussion point. Right at the end of the column, you write the winning percentages, and it's not surprising, but it is eye-opening, the difference in his winning percentage, Dan Gilbert, that is, with LeBron and without him. Without him, they're worse than the Browns have been. And with him, obviously, you know, they win two-thirds of their games with him. So it's been a big difference. You know, I think when it comes to Dolan in particular, he's really the hardest one because Jimmy Haslam's been essentially a pariah until this year. And now people are like, okay, Jimmy, just stay out of the way and spend the money and we're okay with you. Dan Gilbert, like, there's people like you and who you've covered and people like me who are like, well, you know, he meddles. But, I feel like nobody's changed it. There's not a mixed bag as much. With Dolan, it's like he does a lot of things really well, but he doesn't spend the money we want him to spend. And for some people, that overrides all the positives.
I don't think it should override the positives, because there's so much more than just spending. Spending is incredibly important. And, you know, I remember when David Griffin was here and talking to Griff about it, and Griff was like, you know, there were places — he was a free agent when he left Phoenix before he came to Cleveland. And he's like, you know, there are places I would not go because I knew the owners weren't going to spend. And spending is a critical component to competing for a championship. So I don't want to downplay that, but it's not the only thing. And everything else is also important. Structure, stability, culture, not meddling, staying out of the way, hiring really smart people and letting them do their jobs. And the Dolans have nailed that. Like, they have that down pat. If you could set up a blueprint for how you want an organization to run in terms of structure and in terms of who says what and who has say over who, they have nailed it. And you can — Mike Chernoff had the opportunity to go run his hometown team, and he said, no, I'm good in Cleveland. Like, yeah. Think about that. The team he grew up rooting for, he could have gone and run that team, and he said, I'm going to stay in Cleveland. Why do you think that is? It's because of ownership and the structure that they have put in place, and that is unbelievably important. Now, the spending, I understand, I get it, and I agree. Like, the payroll can't be where it is. It just
it's a joke right now. Yeah,
and really, and kind of what I laid out in the column was, it was really the infusion of John Sherman. You can just, looking back now in hindsight, we can see when Sherman's money went in, and we can see when Sherman's money came out. And you could tell when the payroll went up and when the payroll went down. And you know, I've said this a few times, that it just feels to me that the Dolans are the mom-and-pop coffee shop trying to compete with Starbucks and Dunkin', and eventually the game's going to swallow them up. They're going to have to sell eventually. Probably sooner than later. It's just the way baseball's become.
Yes.
I just don't think that they get enough credit for doing everything else right, because it's easy to look at the spending. It's easy for fans to look at the spending and go, they're terrible owners because they don't spend. Get them out of Cleveland. But it's all the other things that you don't see that are just as important in running a company, and they nail it.
Yeah, no doubt. I think all too often, if you say they do the right things in one vein, people are like, well, you're defending him. You're a blind defender. And it's not true. By the way, I rambled on for a minute with my last question, and I never actually asked you a question. So now let me actually ask you a question. Shane Bieber just said he's interested in an extension. Are you surprised that the Indians have not already talked to him, even as early as last offseason?
A little bit, yes. I am surprised that it hasn't come up, but I still think something's going to get done. I absolutely think something will get done. There should be interest on the Indian side, of course. Bieber's already said there is interest on his side. I believe him. A lot of times guys will say things that they don't mean just because it's the right thing to say. I don't think that's the case. And, you know, this is like my working theory, and I've touched on this a couple times, but I haven't really written on it yet. But guys who are first-round picks – are really hard to sign to extensions. I think that's what we're finding out. We saw that with Lindor. He made his big money in this signing bonus, so he could take it to free agency. He could wait. Bauer was the same way. Trevor told me multiple times, hey, I made like, what was it, $7 million on a signing bonus as the second or third overall pick, wherever he went. And so I don't need to sign a long-term deal. You know, I don't need to give up free agent dollars because I'm good. That's not the case with Shane Bieber. He's making the league minimum, and he didn't get a big bonus. And a lot of the guys, a lot of these free agent signings out of the Dominican, and these guys who come from nothing, they're eager to sign long-term deals because they don't have the big signing bonus money. And that's where Bieber falls in. That's the class he falls in, where he didn't make a ton of money in the draft. He's not, you know, like I said, he's making the league minimum. Cy Young winner, making the league minimum. So there's some advantage to obviously taking advantage of that for the value that you're getting. But at the same time, now's the time to go get him. And I wrote about it a couple months ago. He's sort of a unicorn. If you look at the numbers he's putting up at this age and this stage of his career, this doesn't happen very often. Like, Blake Snell's typically the baseline that you use on these contracts. His numbers are way better than Snell's were at this point in their careers. He's doing the types of things that, like, Lincecum was doing. And we all remember what Tim Lincecum was like back in his prime as an arbitration player.
Until he fell off a cliff in a hurry.
He did. And I think the delivery may have had something to do with that. I don't know. But But the numbers that Shane is putting up really kind of make him like a unicorn. So I'm really curious to see where the extension talks go and what the final landing point is on dollars. But I absolutely think there's interest in both sides, and I really do believe something's going to get done.
Jason, I know you also recently wrote about the Cavs and why there always seems to be an issue, right? There's always an unhappy player or whatever. Like Andre Drummond was thrilled to be here, and then he was, you know, and then this has been a mess. What's your conclusion to on this and why the Cavs continuously have these problems?
Boy, we could do a whole show on that. You know, I mean, listen, here's the thing, and this is what I wrote. You can defend everything as an isolated incident. Well, you know, there's a reason why it happened with LeBron. There was a reason why LeBron was upset with this front office and with Kobe, and JR was just mad because LeBron left, and so he didn't want to be here, and he was pouting, and Kevin Porter Jr. had his issues, and Andre's upset, and that's all true. It's all true and valid. In a vacuum, that's all true. Yeah. But the fact that this keeps happening with this organization over and over and over again is alarming. I don't know how you can look at it any other way. Like,
right.
What team sends players away more often than the Cavs do? And it is a problem around the league. Like, it's not just in Cleveland. This is happening in isolated incidents in other places. I just don't think it's happened as often as it does here, where there is very public disputes and problems between players and the front office. Why does it keep happening? You know, I think part of it, I mean, you know, Dan hasn't been around since his stroke. And Dan was, for better or worse, and there's a lot of both with him, he was sort of the jet fuel that propels that entire organization. And that's been missing because of his health. And, you know, he's obviously, for obvious reasons, his family is more concerned with his health and his well-being than him sending the 4,500,000,000 emails and text messages to every Cavs employee that he did for 15 years. And so, you know, I think the organization has just kind of lost that a little bit. It's sort of lost its rudder a little bit. And I, you know, that's another situation that's worth keeping an eye on in town. Yeah. Because how long can this go on like this? I don't know.
Do you think you look at the Cavs, and maybe this is too fatalistic. I look at the Cavs, and I'm like, you know, they got lucky that they got LeBron, and he came back because he's from here. Otherwise, he wouldn't have come back. The odds of them ever being a real contender again to me are so slim. Like, it's so hard to be a contender in the NFL, especially in a non-desirable NBA market. It really is.
Yeah, you got to get lucky in the lottery.
Yeah.
You've got to time it just right. You got to be able to retain the guy that you draft, which is very difficult to do. You have to be able to surround him with talent. I mean, part of the reason why I screamed as wildly as I did about the Kyrie trade back in the day was that was the best this organization will ever have it. They will never be better than what they were then, and it just felt like that last year. They just didn't take full advantage of the opportunity in front of them.
Right.
And that's why I kind of got on him a little bit about it. It'll never be that way again. It just won't be. And if there's a knock on Dan's ownership, that they've never been able to build a winner without LeBron. LeBron was here when Dan bought the team, so he walked into LeBron. And to Dan's credit, he spent everything he needed to spend. The amount of money he spent over those 4 years is staggering. Over $600 million, I think it is, in the 4 years that LeBron came back. The team lost $50 million the year of the championship. That's how much they spent in salary and luxury taxes. There are not many owners who will do that. And he deserves all the credit for that. And it goes back to what we just said about the Dolans, how incredibly important spending is, but it's not the only thing. It's the exact same thing. It's the opposite with Dan. Spending is incredibly important, but it's not the only thing. And the first time LeBron left, they didn't care about winning. Like, they made it very clear. They were tanking. They were trying to get as many high draft picks as they could. They didn't care about – they didn't sign any big free agents. They were acquiring draft picks and trades, and they were trying to draft high. But this time when they came back, they were trying to win. You know, they talked about this nucleus of young players, and they signed Kevin Love. And they go out and trade for Andre Drummond. They've been trying to win. And it's just really, really hard to win in the NBA. And you need everything that we were talking about earlier. You need structure. You need culture. You need discipline. And the Cavs just struggled to develop that when LeBron's not here.
Man, if we could only get Dolan to have Gilbert's willingness to spend, and then you have the perfect owner for,
you
for
really
both
would.
Teams.
You
right?
would have the perfect owner in sports if you had Dan's willingness to spend with the Dolan structure of the organization. It would be the perfect owner in sports.
All right, Jason, what are you watching on TV right now?
Nothing. I've watched everything. Like, I'm like, seriously, I'm not watching anything good. If you've got something good, I'm all ears.
Do you have Apple TV?
Yeah, I do.
Have you watched, oh, my God, I just forgot the name of the show. Oh, my God, the soccer show. The soccer one.
Oh, the one everybody's talking about.
Ted
no,
Lasso.
I haven't seen that
Ted
one.
Lasso. I couldn't think. I love the show. I couldn't think of the name of it.
No,
you got it,
Jason.
Listen to me. Watch Ted Lasso. You will binge watch the whole thing in one day if you can. If you have the time, I'm telling you, it's that good.
All right, I'll take you up on it. Because I started like Bridgerton on Netflix. I lost interest in that.
Yeah,
like,
my wife
quick.
Was watching that. That's I'm out on that.
Yeah, I was too.
I also watched Sex Education on Netflix. Is a good show too.
I haven't heard of that one. I didn't
it's
see
good.
That one.
It's good. But Ted Lasso, I'm telling you, it's the best show. If anybody wants to watch anything right now, my wife and I last night, there's nothing to watch. You're right. We started watching. I'd never watched the show. We started watching The Walking Dead after all these years.
Really?
Yeah.
I binged Yellowstone and Billions at the start of the pandemic. Yellowstone's fantastic. With Kevin Costner, that's really good. Really good.
Yeah, I like Yellowstone. I love Billions. Did you like? You didn't like Billions as much?
Huge on Billions, yeah. And they just went back to filming yesterday.
Right, for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Well, it's so well cast. So well cast, that show.
Yeah, that's a fantastic show.
Jason, great stuff as always, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, see you, buddy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!